of sugar helps the medicine go down. The medicine go down, medicine go down. Just a spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down in a most delightful way.
The extensive history of the pharmaceutical industry is filled with stories and deeds of adventures, misadventures, profit-making, profit-taking, fraud, bribery, false claims, messianic promises, and criminal conduct. Few companies in the history of medicine have received as much attention as Pfizer Incorporated has received these last 3 years of the corona crisis. Through the course of relentless media coverage and amidst all the sound and fury, Pfizer has managed to avoid scrutiny of its previous criminal conduct and is universally portrayed in the mainstream media as a benevolent enterprise whose mission is to nobly service humanity. In an effort to set the record straight, we embark upon a comprehensive historical examination of this company, which sprouted from humble beginnings into one of the most influential corporate behemoths walking the earth today.
That a spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down, the medicine go down, medicine go down.
The story of Pfizer begins in New York City in 1849, when a pair of German immigrants, cousins, Charles Pfizer and Charles F. Erhardt, received a $2,500 loan from Charles Pfizer's father to purchase a commercial building in Williamsburg, Brooklyn, where they would embark upon a joint business venture in the nascent chemical manufacturing industry. Charles Pfizer had been a pharmacist's apprentice in Germany and possessed commercial training as a chemist. Charles Erhardt was a confectioner. Originally named Charles Pfizer and Company, the business would initially focus on the production of chemical compounds. Their first product was a pharmaceutical called Santonin, which was used to treat parasitic worms. Combining their talents, the cousins housed their product within tasty confections, such as candy lozenges and toffee-flavored sugar cream cones. The strategy proved to be a success, setting the stage for the company's future development. The drug Santonin would be used as an anthelmintic up until the 1950s, when it fell out of favor due to noted toxic effects which posed serious risks to patients. Pfizer would quickly expand into the realm of fine chemicals for commercial sale to wholesalers and retailers. In 1862, Pfizer would become the first US company to domestically produce tartaric acid and cream of tartar. With the outbreak of the American Civil War, a massive need for painkillers and antiseptics erupted, creating a, quote, opportunity for the pharmaceutical industry. Pfizer quickly expanded its production of both, as well as iodine, morphine, chloroform, camphor, and mercurials. By 1868, Pfizer revenues had doubled, and its product line had increased substantially. The big boon for the company would come in the 1880s, with its production of industrial-grade citric acid, widely used in soft drinks like Coca-Cola and Dr. Pepper. This would become the company's centerpiece and drive their growth for decades. Another fortuitous change for the, quote, small New York firm would arrive in 1919, when their scientists would pioneer and develop a deep tank fermentation process, the principles of which would later be applied to the production of penicillin. This prowess in fermentation and large-scale pharmaceutical production would put Pfizer in a lead position in World War II when the US government appealed to the pharma industry for support in producing penicillin for the war effort. As penicillin prices and usage declined post-World War II, Pfizer began searching for more profitable antibiotics. The move into commercial production of antibiotics signaled a pivot in Pfizer's business model. The company's operations shifted from a fine chemicals manufacturer to research-based pharmaceuticals, giving birth to Pfizer's new drug discovery program, which focused on in vitro synthesis. In 1950, Pfizer would develop its first proprietary pharmaceutical product, terramycin, a broad-spectrum antibiotic. By 1951, Pfizer had established offices in Belgium, Brazil, Canada, Cuba, England, Mexico, Panama, and Puerto Rico. As their power and profits mushroomed, Pfizer would augment their portfolio through various acquisitions and entries into multiple areas of research and development, including an animal health division. While the Pfizer pharmaceutical kingdom expanded, questions about salacious business practices began to surface.
That a spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down, the medicine go down, medicine go down.
Despite portraying itself as a righteous corporate citizen, Pfizer is no stranger to controversies and scandals. As early as 1958, it was one of six drug companies accused of price fixing by the Federal Trade Commission. In 1961, the Justice Department filed criminal antitrust charges against Pfizer, American Cyanamid, Bristol Myers, accusing top executives of charging egregiously high prices and monopolizing the production and distribution of drugs, dating back to 1953. In 1963, the FTC ruled that the accused companies in its 1958 complaint did in fact rig antibiotic prices. They also noted that, quote, unclean hands and bad faith played a major role in Pfizer being granted the tetracycline patent. By the 1960s, Pfizer was at their most diversified point in history, with interests ranging from pills to perfume and petrochemicals to pet products. The company's shift towards bringing out new products culminated with the establishment of the Central Research Division in the early 1970s, with a full 15% of company revenue directed to this department. This focus on innovation by Pfizer brought about the development of blockbuster drugs described as drugs that generate at least $1 billion in revenue a year for the pharmaceutical companies that produce them. While these drugs can be extremely profitable, for pharmaceutical companies, this business model presents certain long-term problems. Beyond the time and money that goes into the development of these blockbusters, companies run into the exigencies of patent issues. The patent window of 20 years is seen as a severe limitation by pharma, as it often takes a full decade to bring a new drug to market, shortening both the time allowed to reclaim profits from development costs and the time allotted to reap maximum profits from their new product. Due to patent laws, the success of blockbuster drugs is often short-lived, and reliance on blockbusters means that if a product fails, the consequences for the company can be catastrophic. Using this current business model, the need for a pharmaceutical company to produce blockbuster drugs on an ongoing basis is difficult to overstate. They will go to great lengths to protect their golden goose. Accompanying this string of blockbusters was a massive surge in the company's fortunes in tandem with a procession of controversial products, felony offences, and multiple fines, including the largest criminal fine in US history. Pfizer's first blockbuster drug, the anti-inflammatory Feldene, would also become one of its initial contentious products. Pfizer submitted a new drug application for Feldene to the FDA in March 1978 and again in May 1980. The applications were rejected due to poor testing protocols. In September 1981, Pfizer resubmitted an application to the FDA using old data. Multiple questions surrounding Feldene, including the route taken towards its ultimate approval, would make it one of Project Censored top, quote, censored news stories in 2015. In that story, it was noted, then, while the FDA was still considering the application, Pfizer sponsored a reception at the meeting of the American Rheumatism Association in Boston and showed a film promoting Feldene, which the FDA said was illegal. Nevertheless, on April 6, 1982, the FDA approved Feldene for use in the US. Feldene would become Pfizer's most lucrative product to date. Questions about the drug quickly surfaced. By 1986, the FDA was being petitioned to relabel the drug due to serious concerns about its long half-life and tendency to accumulate in the blood. The watchdog organization Public Citizen Health Research Group would later charge that this widely prescribed arthritis drug created risks of gastrointestinal bleeding among the elderly, citing reports of 2,621 adverse events and as many as 182 deaths among patients taking the drug. PCHRG requested that the FDA ban Feldene for patients 60 and over, as an imminent hazard to the public health. Dr. Sidney Wolfe, director of the PCHRG, stated, "At least 1.75 million elderly American people now receiving this drug are at risk of developing life-threatening gastrointestinal reactions." The National Council of Senior Citizens urged the FDA to take the drug completely off the market. Wolfe would later cite internal documents from Pfizer voicing concerns about the drug. By 1995, he would call for a complete ban on the drug for all ages. This was just the beginning of a series of high-profile scandals and legal problems which would come to define business as usual for Pfizer. Reports of serious issues surrounding a heart valve produced by Pfizer's Shiley division began to plague the company. This would result in the cessation of production of all models of the faulty valves by 1986. A 1991 FDA task force charged that Shiley withheld information about safety problems from regulators in order to get initial approval of its valves. A November 7, 1991 investigation in the Wall Street Journal asserted that Shiley had deliberately falsified manufacturing records relating to valve fractures. These fractures resulted in catastrophic consequences for numerous patients. By 2012, it was reported that 663 individuals had died as a result of these defective valves. Pfizer ultimately agreed to pay between $165 million and $215 million to settle lawsuits related to the Bjork-Shiley convexo-concave heart valve. The company would also agree to pay $10.75 million to settle Justice Department charges that it lied to regulators in seeking approval for the valves. The parade of corrupt practices and legal problems that has come to define this pharmaceutical leviathan was just getting underway, as Pfizer would be cited and prosecuted for a litany of illegal acts, ranging from price fixing, product safety, bribery, advertising and marketing scandals, all the way to environmental and human rights violations. In 1999, Pfizer pled guilty to criminal antitrust charges and agreed to pay fines totaling $20 million. Pfizer was charged with participating in a conspiracy to raise and fix prices and allocate market shares in the US for a food preservative called sodium erythorbate, and to allocate customers and territories for a flavoring agent called maltol. In 2000, the Washington Post published a six-part expose accusing Pfizer of testing a dangerous experimental antibiotic, trovafloxacin, trade name Trovan, on children in Nigeria without receiving proper consent from their parents. Trovan was slated to become Pfizer's next blockbuster drug, according to Wall Street analysts, who claimed Pfizer might reap $1 billion a year if Trovan could gain approval for all its potential uses. Unable to find enough patients in the United States, its researchers went to Kano, Nigeria. This unapproved clinical trial on 200 Nigerian children resulted in the death of 11 children, with many more, it is alleged, later suffering serious side effects, ranging from organ failure to brain damage. In 2001, Pfizer was sued by 30 Nigerian families who accused the company of using their children as human guinea pigs. The families contended that Pfizer violated the Nuremberg Code, UN human rights standards, and other ethical guidelines, alleging that Pfizer exposed the children to cruel, inhumane, and degrading treatment. In 2009, after years of legal battles, Pfizer agreed to pay $75 million to settle some of the lawsuits that had been brought in Nigerian courts. Trovan never became the blockbuster that Pfizer had envisaged, telling its stockholders it had suffered a disappointment with their experimental meningitis drug. Trovan was never approved for use by children in the United States. Production was halted, and the European Union banned it in 1999. In 2002, Pfizer agreed to pay $49 million to settle charges that one of its subsidiaries defrauded the federal Medicaid program by overcharging for its cholesterol-lowering drug Lipitor. In 2003, Pfizer paid $6 million to settle with 19 states, which accused the company of using misleading ads to promote the antibiotic Zithromax, also called Z-Pak, used for children's ear infections. The claim alleged that Pfizer overstated the benefits and efficiency of Zithromax when compared to other comparable antibiotics. In 2004, Pfizer agreed to a $60 million settlement in a class action suit brought by users of a diabetic medication developed by Warner Lambert, which Pfizer acquired in 2000. The drug Rezulin had been withdrawn from the market after numerous patients died from acute liver failure, said to be caused by the drug. In 2004, Pfizer agreed to halt ads for its painkiller Celebrex, and the following year admitted that 1999 clinical trials found that elderly patients taking the drug were far more likely to incur risks of heart problems. 2004 also saw Pfizer plead guilty to two felonies and pay $430 million in penalties for fraudulently promoting the epilepsy blockbuster drug Neurontin for unapproved uses, claiming it could also be used for bipolar disorder, pain, migraine headaches, and drug and alcohol withdrawal. Pfizer's underhanded tactics included bribing doctors with luxury trips and monies to promote the drug, and planting operatives at medical education events. Documents later came to light suggesting that Pfizer arranged for delays in the publication of scientific studies that undermined its claim for the other uses of Neurontin. In one example, it was found that a Neurontin team leader at Pfizer stated, "I think we can limit the potential downside of the 224 study by delaying publication for as long as possible." In 2010, a federal jury found that Pfizer committed racketeering fraud in its marketing of Neurontin. The judge in the case subsequently ordered the company to pay $142 million in damages. In 2005, Pfizer withdrew its painkiller Bextra from the market after the FDA cited inadequate information on possible heart risks from long-term use of the drug, as well as life-threatening skin reactions, including deaths. That same year, the FDA approved a black box warning on Pfizer's other blockbuster painkiller, Celebrex, citing elevated risks of cardiovascular events and life-threatening gastrointestinal bleeding. In 2007, Pfizer agreed to pay $34.7 million to settle federal charges relating to the marketing of its gonadotropin human growth hormone. Pharmacia and Upjohn Company, a Pfizer subsidiary, agreed to pay $19.7 million for offering a kickback to a pharmacy benefit manager to sell more of the drug, while Pfizer agreed to pay another $15 million for promotion of gonadotropin for users not approved by the FDA. In 2008, Pfizer paid out a whopping $894 million fine to settle lawsuits alleging that its withdrawn Bextra painkiller and widely used Celebrex arthritis drug harmed US patients and defrauded consumers. $745 million of the total was set aside to resolve personal injury claims. The very next year, 2009, Pfizer was fined $2.3 billion, gaining the dubious distinction of being tagged with the largest healthcare settlement in history. GlaxoSmithKline would up the ante with a $3 billion settlement in 2012. The fine was a combination of civil and criminal settlements relating to Pfizer's allegedly illegal promotion of certain drugs, most notably Bextra. Pfizer pled guilty to misbranding the painkiller Bextra with the intent to defraud or mislead, promoting the drug to treat acute pain at dosages the FDA had previously deemed dangerously high. The Justice Department also noted Pfizer had allegedly paid kickbacks to compliant doctors and promoted three other drugs illegally, the antipsychotic Gedin, an antibiotic Zyvox, and the anti-epileptic drug Lyrica. When interviewed by the New York Times, former Pfizer sales representative John Kopchinski, who helped initiate the federal investigation, stated, "The whole culture of Pfizer is driven by sales, and if you didn't sell drugs illegally, you were not seen as a team player. The criminal fine of $1.195 billion still represents the largest criminal fine ever imposed in the United States for any matter. Even after entering an expansive corporate integrity agreement with the Office of Inspector General of the Department of Health and Human Services as part of the 2009 settlement, Pfizer's unprincipled and injurious behavior continued. The band played on." In 2010, the New York Times reported of Pfizer's admission it had paid around $20 million to 4,500 doctors and other medical professionals for consulting and speaking on its behalf in the last 6 months of 2009. The Times also mentioned Pfizer had paid $15.3 million to 250 academic medical centres and other research groups for clinical trials in the same period. In reference to the amounts disclosed by Pfizer, Dr. Marcia Angell, former editor of the New England Journal of Medicine and author of The Truth About the Drug Companies, How They Deceive Us and What to Do About It, while admitting she had no specific knowledge on the matter, believed the publicly revealed amounts Pfizer disclosed seemed low, stating, "I can't help but think something has escaped." In 2011, Pfizer agreed to pay $14.5 million to resolve False Claims Act accusations that it illegally marketed its bladder drug, Detrol. In 2012, the US Securities and Exchange Commission announced that it had reached a $45 million settlement with Pfizer to resolve charges that its subsidiaries had bribed overseas doctors and other healthcare professionals. The SEC alleged that employees and agents of Pfizer's subsidiaries in Bulgaria, China, Croatia, Czech Republic, Italy, Kazakhstan, Russia, and Serbia made improper payments to foreign officials to obtain regulatory and formulary approvals, sales, and increased prescriptions for the company's pharmaceutical products. According to Kara Brockmeyer, chief of the SEC Enforcement Division's Foreign Corrupt Practices Act Unit, Pfizer subsidiaries in several countries had bribery so entwined in their sales culture that they offered points and bonus programs to improperly reward foreign officials who proved to be their best customers.
Sponsored by Pfizer.
In 2012, Pfizer was hit with another massive fine, this time to settle claims that the side effects of its hormone replacement therapy, HRT drug, Prempro, cause breast cancer. Around 10,000 women filed a lawsuit against the company, alleging that the drug maker withheld information about the potential risks of breast cancer from HRTs. The $1.2 billion settlement came after 6 years of trials. In 2013, Pfizer agreed to a $288 million settlement for claims by 2,700 people that its smoking cessation drug, Chantix, caused suicidal thoughts and severe psychological disorders. The FDA had placed a black box warning on Chantix, the highest safety-related warning assigned by the FDA, to alert patients and doctors to the risk of psychiatric side effects, and noted that the drug is probably associated with a higher risk of a heart attack. Pharmaceutical companies make every effort to circumvent black box warnings, as they generate bad publicity, negatively impacting the marketability of the drug in question, which leads to adverse financial consequences for the company. In 2016, after years of lobbying, Pfizer was able to get the FDA to lift the black box designation from Chantix in a 10-9 vote, giving the controversial blockbuster drug a new lease of life. In 2013, Pfizer reached a $35 million settlement relating to the alleged improper marketing and promotion of the immunosuppressive drug Rapimmune, while announcing that he, along with 40 other state attorneys general, had arrived at the settlement. New York Attorney General Eric T. Schneiderman remarked, "There has to be one set of rules for everyone, no matter how rich or powerful, and that includes big pharmaceutical companies that make unapproved and unsubstantiated claims about products in order to boost profits." While this list of Pfizer's corporate crimes is prodigious by any measure of shady business practices, it is far from exhaustive. In total, Pfizer has accumulated $10,945,838,549 in penalties, incurring 96 violations since 2000, covering a wide range of offences.
That a spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down, the medicine go down, medicine go down.
Despite Pfizer's portfolio of corporate crimes, rivaling any of the most corrupt companies in history, Pfizer would become the corporate celebrity of the global COVID vaccine program and benefit handsomely from the COVID-19 vaccine, which became the highest-selling pharmaceutical product in a single year. 2022 revenues for the pharma giant would reach an all-time single-season high of $100.3 billion, with COVID-19 vaccine sales accounting for nearly 38% of these revenues. While Pfizer was basking in the glow of mainstream media cheerleading and record-setting profits, Honest inquiries into the company's unremitting record of corruption were kept from view. During the COVID crisis, we were told we must, quote, trust in Pfizer to vaccinate the world and save humanity. Given Pfizer's documented record, any reasonable person would ask, is this a company that belongs behind the wheel of the most widespread mass vaccination campaign in history? Is this a company we should trust with experimental medical technology and to be in control of the most radical mass medical experiment in human history? How was it that a company which habitually engaged in such illegal practices was able to reinvent itself as the saviour of humanity? In a June 12, 2008 ceremony at the original Pfizer manufacturing site in Brooklyn, New York, the American Chemical Society designated Pfizer's development of deep tank fermentation as a National Historic Chemical Landmark. At that commemoration, then-president of Pfizer Global Manufacturing, Natale Ricciardi, told attendees, "We have always had a very noble mission," while cryptically lamenting, "A lot of things have changed at Pfizer, and unfortunately, we had to make certain decisions. But the nobility of what we do, the nobility of what has been done and continues to be done, has never changed and will never change." All these years later, and despite Mr. Ricciardi's insistence on Pfizer's magnanimity, a thinking person might look through the company's checkered catalogue and recognise that noble experiments are hardly the realm of, quote, alleged serial felons like Pfizer. If you enjoyed this video, please visit support.dsam.com